Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
As you probably know, Paul opens the first fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians in the first two verses by telling the Corinthians how they ought to regard ministers of the gospel, a proper view of ministers. And that's important because many of them had skewed ideas about ministers. They had picked up wrong ideas even at that early stage when most of them hadn't grown up in the church and didn't have a lot of experience with pastors and ministers, but nevertheless, they'd already picked up some wrong ideas, and some were very critical of Paul because he wasn't carrying out his ministry the way they thought he ought to carry it out. And so Paul sets out in verses 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 to clarify what a minister is, and therefore what people should expect from him. When he says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. A servant, to be sure, he serves the congregation, but his assignment doesn't come from the congregation. He serves the congregation in the way that he is assigned to do so by Christ. He is a servant of Christ who has been assigned by Christ to pastor a particular flock of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ gives him his assignment. Christ tells him what it is he's supposed to be doing with this flock of sheep, what his responsibility is as the under-shepherd of that flock of sheep. It's Christ who defines that, who gives him his assignment. It's not the congregation. This is very important. I'm emphasizing this again because I know that some of you need this. You really do. You could help your pastor so much if you would understand this. You could help your church so much if you would understand this. You could help yourself so much if you would understand this. He is a servant of Christ, and Christ gives him his assignment, and he is a steward of the mysteries of God, which tells us in what direction that assignment is going to go, where the emphasis lies, and that is upon the Word of God. The mysteries, he's a steward of the mysteries of God, and the mysteries of God have to do with the Word of God, the truth that God has given in His Word, some of which comes to us as mysteries. It's rather concealed, but God will reveal it, and there's different ways that God reveals to us, but one of His primary ways is by having faithful preachers of God's Word who are unfolding Scripture to their congregation so that their people can understand the Scriptures correctly. That's job number one. That's assignment number one. And blessed is the congregation that has a minister who understands that. Blessed is the minister who has a congregation who understands that. I pause now to welcome you to this Friday, July 2 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to thank those whose financial gifts keep us going. I made reference on the broadcast yesterday to ministerial burnout. It's a real issue. Some men burn out, and I've come to the conclusion that in most cases, there can be varieties and exceptions, but in most cases, the thing that causes ministers to burn out is trying to meet unbiblical expectations of their congregation. All of these things that people impose upon them, not maliciously in most cases, but because they don't understand. They've picked up ideas from their background, from their heritage, from their tradition, from their culture, from their upbringing, and many times they were involved in congregations where the congregation had unbiblical expectations of the pastor, and pastors catered to that for whatever reason. Sometimes the pastors themselves didn't clearly understand what their assignment was from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a pity, isn't it? And so that'll burn a man out, trying to do what he knows the Lord wants him to do, but also trying to do all the things that other people want him to do that compete with what the assignment that's been given to him by Christ. So job number one is the ministry of God's Word, and he's got to make that job number one. That's got to be first priority. If that doesn't come first, then he won't get it done properly. He won't be properly prepared. He won't be able to faithfully deliver the Word of God to his people, which is job number one. Above everything else, the qualification for a pastor, 1 Timothy chapter 3, is that he be apt to teach, have an aptitude to teach. And, of course, having an aptitude to teach is one thing, but you can't say the same thing every time you preach. You've got to prepare and exposit and explain a new passage of Scripture. You don't just say the same thing over and over. I know some men do, but that's not what you're supposed to be doing. So you have to couple your God-given gift to teach, this aptitude, with a work ethic that studies the Scripture faithfully and regularly and primarily, that is, as your first assignment. And until that's done, you don't have time for anything else. Until that's done, you're not free to do other things. Until that's done, you cannot meet all the many expectations of your congregation. Sorry. In my early years as a pastor, I felt these same frustrations, and I remember how I wrestled with this in prayer before the Lord, and in the sense of frustration that I had, that I didn't matter how many hours I worked, I was working. In the early years of my ministry, I was foolishly working 7 days a week and oftentimes 7 nights a week. I had an understanding wife and a supportive wife, and for the first 2 or 3 years, didn't have any children. The first one came along, actually, I think, after 2 years of ministry. But I was busy, 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 and I was trying to accomplish more things than I should have been. And first of all, I had to come to terms with what was wrong. I can't blame the congregation totally for my being busy in more things than I should have been busy with, because I had wrong expectations myself that I had imbibed by influences that I absorbed that were not exactly biblical. And so first of all, I had to straighten out my own thinking, and then I had to help the congregation understand. And I don't remember the exact date or the exact details, but I remember when I went before my congregation and said, "Folks, I need your help. My first responsibility is to preach the Word of God. And to do that, I've got to have protected time to be able to study and prepare and pray." Remember the apostles in Acts chapter 6. "Let's choose out 7 deacons to serve the widow's table so that we can give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer." That's another place where we're told what the pastor's primary responsibility is. We see it here in 1 Corinthians 4:2, in this idea of stewards of the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God, the Word of God. Well, we see it in Acts chapter 6. It's spelled out very plainly. We will give ourselves. This is what we are to give ourselves to. This is our primary responsibility. We will give ourselves to the ministry of the Word and prayer. And there has to be protected time to pray. You want a minister who prays for you, don't you? Well, you've got to give him time to do it. You can't put so many demands upon him that he doesn't have time to pray. Just a prayer on the fly as he's running here and yonder, driving hither and yon. But he needs time alone, protected time to pray. He needs time alone to read God's Word for himself. He needs time alone to study God's Word for his sermons. He needs some protected time. And I remember going to my congregation and telling them that and asking for their help. And in God's goodness, they readily responded. And it sure took a burden off my back. And it sure took care of that sense of burnout that I was beginning to feel, because now I was no longer trying to meet multiple expectations that could never be met by one man, but I was now concentrating on the primary assignment that had been given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ. What is a minister? Here it is. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's job number one. Now, how that's worked out with different ministers, I'll leave that between the minister and the Lord. But in my case, and in the case of many ministers, the way that I work that out is basically my mornings are entirely devoted to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And then, after noons, after lunch, is devoted to everything else. And there's never enough time to do everything else, but when time runs out, then some things are left undone. But if I have given myself to prayer and the ministry of the Word, if I am prepared when I step into the pulpit, then I know that I have done the job that has been assigned to me by Christ. I'm a servant of Christ, and this is what he's assigned me to do. Beyond that, yes, I try to visit and stay in touch personally with people as much as possible. And yes, I make myself available to counsel as needed. And yes, I have other things that I need to do, administrative responsibilities of various kinds, communications of various kinds, whether they're email or letters or telephone calls or whatever, and talking with other staff members in our church and coordinating what we're doing and praying together. And all of these things are very, very important. And, of course, in my case, I've got this radio ministry that also has to be done. And so that gets done in the afternoons, but not in the mornings. I've had a number of times when I've been contacted by someone and said, let's do breakfast together. Well, if it's early enough, that's okay. I don't like to do that often because it kind of sets me off on the wrong foot in my morning, but I'll do that occasionally. But then sometimes people say something like, I'm driving through your town. I'll be there around 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Can we have breakfast together? And unless it's a real urgent matter, not just a time of fellowship, unless it's a real urgent matter that needs to be addressed, and that's the only time it can be addressed, my answer is, no, I'm sorry. That's my study time. That's my preparation time. That's my prayer time. I can't do that. I'm sorry. I'm not willing to interrupt the things I must do to fulfill my primary assignment given to me by Christ in order to enjoy fellowship with you as much as I would enjoy doing that. I can't do that. I'm sorry. Well, until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.